You know, and how many knows there's great benefits that come from hearing and doing the Word of God?
Amen.
I'm talking about life-changing things and events and moments and seasons in our lives when we hear the Word of God and do it.
Right.
You know, the book of James says, be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. You know, there's a lot of people that's deceived today in some things, you know. Like the Bible says in Hebrews over there, it says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some are, as much more as we see the day approaching. We're living in a time where that truth has just been laid aside, so to speak. You know, and we don't have to go to church to be a good Christian. You hear all kinds of false doctrine, see, they quit doing the Word, and they begin to get deceived, you know, that they don't need church, and God understands, and I'm sick, and I got problems, and my marriage has problems, and whatever the case might be, you know, and I'm not downing anybody or judging, but there's great benefits, and very deep things come to those that hear the Word and do the Word, and you know, people say that, you know, they don't have to go to church to be a good Christian. I've never heard a preacher say you did. I don't know where they heard that doctrine. I've never heard not one preacher say that. But I find it hard to walk with God without the church.
Amen.
I find it hard to grow spiritually. I find it hard. I find, you know, missing things on the inside when I'm not connected to the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Why? Because that's being a doer of God's Word. Forsaking not the assembly. And you hear, you know, I mean, and we need to be equipped with knowledge in these things that when we encounter these wrong things and people that I believe love God, I believe that, you know, that once went after God, I mean, we need to be strong in the areas and built up in the Word that we are encouraging them to get back on track, to go back to the house of God, to get rid of that false doctrine. And you know what? Jesus told the disciples, he said, take up your cross and follow me. He said, if you don't follow me, you're not worthy of me. Well, I mean, you know what that means today to me and you? That following Jesus is going to take sacrifice.
Yeah.
It's going to take sacrifice. And you know, I hear people and heard people say, well, you know, the Lord don't want us suffering. Nah, I mean, he understands, you know, we don't have the gas money to go to. No, he understands these miracles.
Yeah.
He understands the Bible. God understands the Bible. He understands there's power and life in the Word of God. He understands that the doers of the Word of God will be empowered by heaven, will be empowered by the Holy Spirit, will be empowered by grace. They'll be empowered with dunamis, dynamite power.
Amen.
They will be given the ability to do what the Word says. Be doers. God don't ask us to be doers of the Word without empowering us to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, if God asked me to start a church over here, I didn't want to start a church. Honestly, I didn't. I'd done been offered a church. And, you know, I built a brand new church up there in Coleman and wanted me to run the first revival in it. The lady had met me at the jails and we'd ministered together and went up there and she offered me, I was offered a salary, $40,000 a year salary to pastor that church. And I went home, prayed. Immediately the Lord said no. He said, that's not my will for you. Well, how many knows? We live in a time today where the world just does anything it wants to do, anytime it wants to do it, and it tries to filter over into the church. But we don't belong to ourselves. We've been bought with a price. And God's will is the best thing that we will ever find and do for our lives. It will prosper us. People say, well, it don't really matter where you go to church. There's no scripture in the Bible to back up that doctrine. There's no scripture that I've found in the Word where Jesus, they get born again, and he said, y'all just go everywhere and do whatever you want to do. There's not. The Bible says in Romans 8:14, those that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The Bible says that it is God that sets us in the body where it pleases Him. Not where mama goes, not where daddy goes, not where Aunt Susie's always went, and that traditionally is where we should go. No, we're to be led by the Spirit of God. God led me and Teresa to that church unbeknown that we were even being led. So even at babies, if they're not taught that wrong junk, if they are instructed by us believers and stronger ones, seek the Lord, find the will of God, find where you're supposed to be in church. See, don't believe that false doctrine because it'll cause you not to be a doer of the word. Then it don't matter where you go to church. It does matter where you go to church. You better believe it matters where you go to church. I mean, God knows you. He knew you before you even born. He knows the plans that He has. He knows the end. He knows your future. He knows everything from start to finish in mind of your life. And so we got to get rid of that church doctrine that it don't matter where you go to church. Now, I'm not just talking to you here. I believe everybody here, you know, that is here, that is you found where the will of God is for you. But there's going to be people that is going, and we're talking all over the world. We're on YouTube, Facebook Live, you know, and been on the all over the world since 2008. You know, every sermon's uploaded all over the world. They listening to it out of the country and everywhere else. But it's important. I don't care if you're over in China. Yeah. You get born again, find the will of God for you in China, or in Mexico, or in Bluntsville, or in Coleman. It don't really matter. Find the will of God. God has a place and a plan for you that you don't know anything about until you begin to be a doer of the Word of God. See, when I got born again, Teresa was introduced to a guy. Him and my brother was fishing down at Tonka down there. And we pulled up there, I think it was after church on Sunday or whatever. And we had pulled up down there. Well, that guy had drawn out a graph on a piece of paper. I still know he won't call no names, still warped up today. But had a graph out how that Jesus, when Jesus come, He finished it all. And we don't have to go to church. Church is our synagogues of Satan now. But you know what? Me and Teresa just knew a little bit enough of the scripture that it said, forsake not the assembly of yourself together, because the manner of some are. Teresa starts bouncing up and down over there, and she said something to the nature, you're wrong, this is false prophet. Well, see, my brother was telling me, you got to meet this guy, you got to talk, this guy knows the truth. But he don't believe in church. And I knew just enough of the scripture, I was already a doer of the Word of God. And I looked at my brother, I said, you better get away from him, he's a false prophet. I said, the scripture don't never change. You've been saved longer than me, man. I said, it sounds good, you and him just been fishing on Sunday. Y'all just go fishing with, you know, Jesus, just go fishing. I asked him, I said, who are you going to pay your tithes to? The fish? Where are you going to tithe? What part of the kingdom are you going to build? But anyhow, my point in that, see, there's false doctrine floating around out there. Don't let it get in you. Don't let it penetrate you. Don't let it in. Just don't let it in. Don't entertain anything other than God's word to be final authority and truth and what you're going to do with your life. Let it be first place and final authority. The whole church cannot believe that Jesus is Lord. See, there's TV shows today that is portraying what is good and is not. Men, I mean, we got it all in the White House. What's his name? Buttigieg? Yeah. Buttigieg? Is it Buttigieg? Become a mama. Him and his lover. Him, they're both hims.
They're married.
They're married in the White House. Portraying that this is normal. I don't care if it is in the White House. The Bible says that it's an abomination to the Lord. And look at the consequences of those poor babies. This is going to be grown up with two men. No mama. No mama. See, look, I'm not judging them. Go on. Go on. Go to hell with it if that's what you want to do. But you better turn to the Lord Jesus and realize in Genesis that God made male and female. God made them a helpmate for not two men to be together. See, this is betrayed all the way to the White House in trying to come into the church that it's right. It's not right. Women with women. Betrayed in today's culture and Hollywood and, you know, on TV and all kinds of shows, you know, portraying even commercials of peanut butter or something. I was watching something the other day, and two women holding hands and giving me a commercial about peanut butter or something. Well, what I'm saying is, you know, it's trying to portray to us this is normal, that this is okay, because the culture is just going along with all of it, and Hollywood and you know, and our government and all of this. But see, me and you, the Bible says that we will know the truth and the truth will make us free. Now, I really love Moody Jesus. He needs Jesus. And that other dude needs Jesus. And all of these do. The enemy is really good at making a man. I've never wanted to be a woman, man. I mean, I don't know. You got to have a real devil. I'd rather be a man. I mean, a woman, I guess they'd rather be a woman. You know, but me and you are created in the image and likeness of God, whether we're male or female. But you know what? God knew that I was going to be a man. If he had wanted me a woman, I'd have been a woman. He didn't make no mistake. And I'm not ever going to want a sex change. I mean, you know, I mean, we got a woman, we got a man. Portrayed as a woman, want my little Aubrey, if she feels like a man, to, you know, become a man. In our government. What's her name? Anybody know? Y'all know who I'm talking about, don't you? Well, I'm not on him either. I won't call him a her. He's a guy. Stupid. Oh, call her what? Call her. Respect her. No, she don't respect. She don't respect God. You don't respect me. You know, my little grandson's not going to be a little girl one day. It's not going to happen. Well, what if he feels like it? I'll straighten him right out. I will straighten him right out, and I'll hear him in that Bible. Travis wore a tattoo one time. If you want a tattoo, just cover yourself up, man. I'll put me one all over me. I just don't want one. I'm fine with tattoo. Travis wore a tattoo over there. He found the scripture in there to get what he wanted. The marks of the Lord Jesus. Mark wasn't tattooed. I mean, Paul wasn't tattooed up. He was twisting scripture to make it feel good that he can get him a tattoo. He was using scripture. I said, I think the beatings that Paul took was not a tattoo, son. Well, what was I doing? I'm keeping my son straightened out. Don't use scripture. Stay right with scripture. You know, go on, do what your flesh wants to do, but don't get warped up in scripture. Because the scripture is the only way me and you know truth today. We live in a society that the world don't know truth. They just don't know. Some of them used to know. But they don't know no more. Why? Because the media and Facebook and all your local stations and all. God told me to say all of this morning. I'm telling you, praise God. I mean, you know, sister wives. What's that other one? They're polygamy. That ain't sister wives. What? Yeah, that's them. Yeah. He can't get none of them ladies in agreement to move now. And so he goes off through there and he puts his glasses on, making all, I ain't the man of the house now. And I thought, you ain't never been the man of the house. You're supposed to be the husband of how many wives? It's not okay. No wonder there's drama and messed up and nobody can get on the same page. And they're Christians. Now, quiet, I know you're good. This is good stuff, see? I sit there and it grieves me to my core to watch all that drama and garbage. And I'm like, well, there ain't no way they can be anything but messed up. The husband of one wife. No, he ain't a man. I'd like to meet him. You ain't no man. You a woman abuser, homie. You a woman. How's all these women going to have a good relationship with you when you're sleeping with that in 1 week, going over and having kids with that in the next week, and y'all all got separate houses and want to build a big one together? You asking everybody to just drop their whole life and they ain't even asking God about it. What's the will of God for them? I didn't tell Teresa, you got to come down here. But God told me to come start this church. I didn't put a demand on her. She said she ain't going. I knew she hadn't heard from the Lord. So I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, I need you to speak to her, Lord. That was being the man of the house, to let her find the will of God so that when the battles are taking place here, that she don't have to wonder. She knows where she's in the will of God at. That's being a man. I got saved and I was a very jealous man before, a fearful man. Jealousy's fear. Yeah. Competitive. And I was a really, really fearful guy, you know. Jealous. We call it jealous. Well, I found out later on it's fear. Yeah. You know, fear he's got what I don't. Gotta, you know, whatever the case might be. You know. But I got free from that. I got born again, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I love my wife, Lord. I love her so much, Lord, that I'm willing to let her go be with somebody she wants to be with if she don't want to be with me. That was real love. Yeah. Talking and feeling and action. That I would rather her be happy than be what I wanted her to be. But you know what that did? That brought what I really loved to me. That set me free, and that set everybody free that was connected to me, praise God. Why? Because the Bible says, I will know the truth, and the truth will make me free. Well, all of this in there, women marrying women, okay on TV now, even on my local channels will advertise two women have, you know, just having a good life together, going to buy mayonnaise at the grocery store. I'm not biting that bullet. That's an abomination to the Lord. And I don't care what the culture does, the Bible tells me and you, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, by the Bible. So I had a preacher one time, and I never had the concept that the Lord had hooked us up with back when we were young Christians. And he made this statement, Johnny. He said, why do you believe what you believe? He said, you need to go to the Bible and find out why you believe what you believe. If what you believe ain't lined up with the Bible, you need to get rid of what you believe that it's not in line with that Bible. That's why people say, Scotty's business is going under. Lie! How do you figure that's a lie? Because the Bible says, my God will supply all of my needs according, not my job. Right. If God be for me, who can be against me? Right. If God told me to do that, then, you know, 27, 28 years later, I'm still a happy man with it. Is everything always went good in it? No, and the Bible says it won't. He says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but what happens? The Lord will deliver them out of them all. I was thinking about this morning. We'll get some scripture in a minute. I was thinking about this morning. We went one time, and the Lord spoke to me and told me to go to one of my sister's daughter's house and give me a word for them. I didn't know what they're facing or nothing. I'm coming back from Maverickville, Alabama. And I'm coming down 75, and the Lord spoke to me. and told me to go and prophesy to them. I thought, they ain't aware her husband will be home, and I'm not going to go over there. If he's not there, I'm not going in. So I go over there, and lo and behold, he took off work that day. And he was there. Go in there, and they had remodeled the house and borrowed some money, and things had got a little bit tight. You know, I didn't know nothing in the natural, and they were contemplating just letting it go back because they couldn't see. They were Christians. And I told them, I said, the Spirit of God spoke to me and told me to come down here and tell you, you don't have to lose anything. And give them the scripture where Jesus said, no man leaves father, mother, lands, brothers, sisters for my sake and the gospel to lose anything, but he shall gain 100-fold in this life and eternal life. And I told them, I said, you don't have to lose anything. I said, you're looking in the natural and all of that. I said, but God said if you'll stand up and fight. How many know you got to fight for your right to win?
Amen.
Where do I get that? 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith.
Amen.
Paul said, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. How does faith come? By the truth of God's word. By God's word. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. That's the only way that I know that I'm created in the image and likeness of God. That's the only way that I know that I'm more than a conqueror, that I don't have to be defeated. That's the only way that I know that by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. But God, that's the only way I know that these supernatural things are for me and in me and going to work in my life and situations.
Amen.
I thought about it, but I went down there and said, and this is what it said. So, well, you know, we've got a little high-minded, I think. I said, well, no, that's not good. I said, pride will strip you of things of God.
Right.
How many know God, the Bible says that God resists the proud?
Yeah.
I don't care how much grace you think you got.
Right.
If I'm proud and arrogant, shaking my fist in the face of God, saying, I know what I need better than you do. I'm going to quit my job. I'm leaving this church. I'll quit my job and I'll go find me another job. And God ain't told me, you know, that's pride. That's arrogance. When I started down here, I went to the Lord and I started fasting and I said, God, have I got what it takes to make sure my family don't backslide? My wife, Lord, have I got the spiritual authority? Have I got what it takes that I can raise my family up under the anointing like I'm under now? I don't want to come out from under that anointing. I want my family to be spiritually sound. Have I got the anointing, God, to go down there and people come in and you entrust them in my care, Lord? He said, as long as you stay with my truth and keep my anointing.
Yeah. Right.
He didn't say, Scott, it's because you're a preacher and you're smart and you quote scriptures.
Right.
But the sister wives thing just, you know, when it's love after lockup. Good. God Almighty. If you ain't got it, Google it. Watch a little of it. Ninety-day fiancé. They got 90 days to get married. Trying this thing out for 90 days. You know, you can't even turn the color of hair of somebody's hair in 90 days. The dye ain't out in 90 days. They give them cameras and follow them around. We rush back home to hurry up and watch it. What I'm saying is, this stuff tries to filter in our consciousness of what's good and what's right. And you know what it is? It's nothing but a bunch of drama. They say, I know I've been to the jails and a bunch of liars in there. Oh, Mr. Weston, boy, pray for me. Lord gets me out of this, I won't never come back here. Liar. You're trying to con God. Why don't you just fall in love with God and stay in here and worship Him? God, you want God to do it, to bail you out of your trouble right quick so that you can go back and do what you're doing to get in here without Him. They cut me out of my money. $10 a week's all allowance I had, so I went hungry for a few weeks. We was on a budget. Had our bills. Y'all anybody have bills? You got $10 deed on, that's all you got all week deed on, Monday through Friday. And you work from 5 o'clock till 5 sometimes. Well, I'm out of compassion because they want to rob their kinfolk because they're lonely and they ain't got nobody. I'm giving my $10 into jail. So I'm doing without food. So I go to my pastor, it's bothering me. I go to my pastor and I ask him, man, I tell him about it. He said, listen, Brother Scotty, they're conning you. I said, what? No, man, I mean, they're good people. He said, I'm not saying they're not, but how'd they get in jail? He said, you are not there to meet their financial needs. He said, you're there to meet their spiritual needs. He said, God's opened that door for you. He said, I'm not saying don't ever give them nothing. He said, but don't do nothing like that unless the Lord leads you and you know it's Him. Set me free. That dude wouldn't even talk to me tomorrow. Boy, what a fine preacher he is. Why won't he even give you stamp money? What happened? He was in love with me before. See, he didn't want the truth. He wanted my money. He wasn't after the truth. See, some Christians, they're not after truth. They want what they want. And you know, that's why God can't move in their life. We can't be like that. We gotta want God's will. We gotta want to know Him. We gotta want His will to take place, whether we like it or not. Hallelujah. It's not a bad thing. You know, I mean, Jesus told Peter, he told him, he said, there'll come a time when I'll take you where you don't want to go. I didn't really want to come down here. I was fine evangelizing. But you know what? I wouldn't trade it right now for nothing on this planet of being the pastor of this church. I've been here for in the will of God, mainly the will of God. I've been here for 21 years. I thought this morning, good Lord Almighty, we got a big crowd. You look around and say, no? Oh yeah, we got a big one. I've preached to the pews. A big crowd is one when you preach to the pews. Right? But you know what? God had to take me there to build me. Where it don't make no difference. I'm preaching to a big church all over the planet. A big, big bunch of people. This is not a little church. I don't see you as little. You're just a little Christian. No, you're not. You've got dynamite on the inside of you. No, sir. You can be the next Apostle Paul. That turns this world. You can be the next Deborah. You can be the next Ruth. You can be the next Joyce Myers. No, I don't see one person. One person is building, going to build the kingdom. Jesus done it. Right. Paul wrote most of the New Testament in prison. Right. You know who Paul met? Truth. Right. He didn't meet this Jesus. Jesus was a man. He met truth. He was the truth. And the truth set him free. The truth set him free from the lid. And you know what? He left power to follow Jesus. This dude left riches to follow Jesus. This dude, you know, left all of the religion that he'd been taught to follow Jesus. To go and follow and do what the Lord told him to do. I mean, he was learned in the law. Trained in it. Killing Christians. Thought he was doing God's service. Hallelujah. But God touched him. Truth set him free. And then he began, and his ministry is still going right now. That ministry is still taking place. Give me that gun, whatever I got. I want to show you something. Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Now, leading up to these two parables right here, well, let me just read this, and then I won't cover a couple of things. But he says, whosoever cometh to me This is red letter Jesus. Luke chapter 6, 46 through 49. Whosoever cometh to me, you get saved. Here's the word, here's my saying, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on the rock. Teresa talked about this a little bit this morning. And laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. See, now he's talking about the word here. He said, and he made a comparison to building a house so me and you could realize how our lives could be when we're rooted and grounded in the truth. And we stay in faith, and we're, you know, like I said, I bring up these sister lies. I mean, Teresa one time told me, one night to lay over, I don't remember what it was back then, the soap operas. You know, she'd watch one night to lay over, whatever. But she made this statement one time. She said, I wish you'd like Bo or whoever it was on there. Wish you'd like Bo on there, I don't remember what it was. You know? Well, come to find out, Bo didn't have a good life off of that TV. Or whatever his name was. All messed up. Actor. Pretender. But you know what? She got bold. Woo! Got born again. I'm the best thing ever happened to her other than Jesus. I really believe that. Why? Because I follow Jesus. I'm in the will of God. Because I've got his glory. And likewise. She's the best thing ever happened to me other than Jesus. You ought to feel that way about your wife. You ought to feel that way about your husband if they're serving the Lord. It might not be that they're perfect and all. No, they've got God's grace and God's glory and God's honor on their lives, God's blessing on their lives. Hallelujah. He said, but he that heareth, I don't have to go to church to be a good Christian. Y'all hear this? Luke 6, 46 through 49. Y'all that can't see the screen, you can hear me real plain. Get your Bible out and read your Bible. I'm talking to y'all on YouTube and Facebook and all over the planet. Read your Bible. He that does goes to church. I'm going to show you some things that was leading up to this. He said, but he that heareth and doeth not. How many of you can hear and don't do it? You can know to find God's will, but you don't want to seek him. You can know to give money and just ain't going to do it. But he says, those kind of folk, they hear and do it not. He's like a man without a foundation. Built a house upon the earth against which the stream did be. Two types of people here. These people that hear and do. And there's people that hear and don't do. And he made a great distinction right there. The ones that hear and do are going to be blessed when trials come. When hardship hits, I mean, they won't be moved. They're founded upon a good foundation, the Word of God. The school tried to teach Travis about evolution. And he told them, he said, no, I'm created in the image and likeness of God. Do you know where he got that? He didn't get it from school. He didn't get it off PBS. He didn't get it off cartoons. You have to watch them stupid cartoons now. They kissing, having sex, all kinds of stuff in cartoons. And you can't shut your kids off just to get them out of your hair with cartoons, because that's going to teach them against the Bible. Unless you have handpicked your Christian cartoons. Handpicked. Watch it yourself. Had somebody in my family one time, oh, you've got to watch this movie. Oh, I said, is it got any cussing? No, or not a cuss word in it. Not a cuss word in it. I said, well, Lord, did God send it to me? I mean, the first starting of it, they started cussing. I thought they're cussing. They told me that. But see, they're blind. They can't hear. blind to it. Didn't even hear the cussing. No, I watched it over and over. It ain't no cussing. I was kind of shocked, but I realized they're blind leading the blind. And I ain't going in a ditch with them. Get that out of there. Right? See, just because somebody else can't see don't mean we got to be blind with them. Hallelujah. Somebody can tell me, I'm going to run off the bluff and go on and be with Jesus. Y'all want to go with me? I ain't going. You just go right on, baby. Tie a rope. See how long it is right before you hit the ground. You're going to change your mind before you hit the ground. Tie it to your ankle where to stop you before you crash the rock. But he said, he that hears and doeth not is like a man without a foundation. I'm not going to be without a foundation. I'm not going to. Calvin telling me yesterday at our Christmas get-together, brother, you know, he said, well, you know, I mean, culture is what it is. And I said, yeah, culture is what it is. I said, but it ain't getting in me.
Right.
And it ain't going to get in my church.
Right.
Bible says, be not conformed to this world.
Right.
Don't let it come into church and conform you to the way you believe. If I start believing wrong, confront me. And then if I won't change, get out of here. I don't care about you if I'm going to teach you wrong. I don't care about your life if I'm not going to feed you anything. But you ain't going to know that I'm wrong if you don't get yourself in that Bible. You got to be a student of the Bible so that you know yourself if what is being taught to you, whether it's on TV, whether it's in family get-togethers, or whether it's in church, you will know the truth and the truth. You don't say everybody's going to feed you the truth in here. That way you'll be set free by it. Now, I believe in good biblical teaching. I'm not saying that. But you've got to be a word student yourself. You've got to know what the Bible says for yourself. Hallelujah. Give me the rest of it. I think verse 27-38, go back. This is going back just a little. Jesus was leading up to this. This is before we just read about the foundations. Jesus was leading up to the foundations and what it takes that for the foundations. He said, but I say unto you, which hear? Is that you?
That's me.
He's not talking to everybody.
Right.
He's telling the ones that are listening to him there. He said, but I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies. I mean, that's a part of the foundation he's talking about.
Yeah.
To love your enemies. If you ain't never had an opportunity to have enemies and love them, you will get one.
Yeah.
I promise. Yeah. He wouldn't have wrote it if it wasn't going to happen. He said, love your enemies. See, what that's doing, when you hear it and do it, it's building you on a solid foundation.
Amen.
It's building you on a supernatural foundation. It's building you up to where they can say I get all manner of evil said against me and I don't go home and get Aiden specifier. Oh, Lord, I'm just trying to pastor down there. Now, I used to. I needed two of them. Specifiers. Because I'd wear one out every other week. But now, you know, I'm done building now because I started saying, Lord, just forgive them. They don't know what they're saying. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know my heart, Lord. They don't know my motives, Lord. And you know what? That was building me up and I didn't even realize it. To where now they can say something about this church and I think free advertisement in Bluntville. Glory to God. We're getting free advertisement. Well, I didn't start out there. I started out, what's wrong with him, Lord? You know I love you. I mean, I didn't have a good foundation built. My house wasn't built on like it should be or needed to. On the foundation been laid for me. I mean, Jesus is the chief cornerstone.
Yeah.
Jesus is the rock in which we stand.
Yeah.
And we build upon that word, him in us. But he says, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. This is leading to that foundation he's talking about. These are the scriptures before we get to the two foundations that I read. Look, do good to them which hate you. You know what? That's what Teresa was talking about. I heard somebody didn't think we like them as a church and blah, blah, blah. She taught in Sunday school. I found out that they thought we didn't want them to open the church in Bluntsville and blah, 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 you know. I caught wind of it, and I went to Teresa, and I said I was to write a $1,000 check and mail it to that church. She mailed them $1,000. We're best friends now. Come on, somebody. Can you see why I did it? No. I didn't do it to get popular. I'm already popular. Y'all here? Y'all like it. They like it. They log on. We'll lose somebody every now and then on Facebook when we say, forsake not this evening, and y'all be going to church, they'll cut you off. They're in their living room. Preaching to them. But he says, do good to them which bless them that curse you. Pray for them that use you. Pray for them that use you. They used me in the jail, but I prayed for them. God save them, Lord. Oh, Lord, I'm glad to lay my life down for them, Lord. You laid yours down for me and give me a good life, Lord. Instead of going in there, hellfire and brimstone with an attitude like that, I went in there and told them how much. I went in one day into the jail, and I wasn't going to go to the bullpen. Bullpen is full. Every Sunday morning, that bullpen was full. I never seen it where there wasn't six or eight of them in there. Call it the bullpen then. That's where you go before you get in population, you know. But anyhow, I go in down there, and there's this guy in there this particular morning, and boy, let him have it. Y'all are going to hell. You're going to hell. You know, Jesus paid the price, but you're going to hell. Tell him. I mean, there's a fire down there and all that, you know. And I thought, well, I'll just go on upstairs. And when I started by there, the Lord said, I want you to go in there. I thought, oh, Jesus, man, I'm not going there. I'm preaching right now. So I started pacing the hall. I just started pacing the hall, and they got mirrors, you know, up where they could see the halls and all that. And I thought, man, these cops are going to come down here, and then they're going to check my license, and I ain't got none. Jesus opened that door. And I wasn't going to tell my pastor to give me a license. I thought to myself, well, Dickie comes in, he said, just go tell him. I said, I'm not telling him. If Jesus can't tell him, but God, them doors won't be shut for me. I said, the Lord opened that door. I said, the Lord said, I was the only preacher out of 15 preachers in that place that never got their license checked. And all 15 preachers got mad at me before I left there. Because I was taking that Bible and fasting and hearing from the Lord. And I was getting these people saved and letting God get them back, the backslidden back right with the Lord. Some of them called me when they got out of jail. I give a few of them a number, not all of them. Praise God. And they would call me every holiday. We're still serving the Lord, still hanging in there, man. Some of them that I won to Jesus, that I knew was real. But I went in there, you know, and that guy came out. Bunch of rebellious in there, what they are. I went in there, and the minute I stepped in, compassion hit me. Love hit me. And I just fell on my knees in front of them bars. And all them guys had pillars and had their heads covered up and are tired of hearing what that guy's saying, that preacher's saying, you know. And so I just started telling them, man, I love you this morning, and Jesus loves you, and God loves you. He loves you. And I mean, I started talking about love and all of that stuff, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, the pillars started coming off of their heads, and before I left, there three were on their knees in front of me, tears running down their face, and give their hearts to Jesus. Out of love and compassion, see. It wasn't out of it. See, what I'm saying, my foundation was being built. God had already told me, love my enemies. Love those. Pray for those that you hate. You know, and I'm reading the Bible, and it says, love your enemies, and I shut the Bible. I told Teresa, I said, I don't like that. I just don't like that. Why? Love your enemies. Because I had some people, honestly, I would blow their brains out if they give me a real good reason at that time before I got born again. You know, so I'm born again now, I can't do it. I can't do it anymore. I got to love them. But see, Jesus was talking about the foundation, see. See, what the Lord is asking us to do, whatever he's asking you to do, it's not to make you look bad, to make you be weak. It's to build you up to where you're on that solid foundation, praise God, that has already been laid, Jesus, so that when the storms of life and your marriage and your kids and the culture and then all of that, when it comes in like a flood, there'll be a standard, there'll be a wall there that is from the Lord in your life that'll keep you safe from the storms. Somebody told me the other day, said, I heard from the Lord and said a storm's coming. I told the Lord, I said, send a hurricane, Lord. Anything from you, and I'm talking about in the spirit, anything from you, Lord's going to clean house and make me better. Instead of, oh God, there's a storm coming. There's always been a storm brewing. There's always been seasons. You go through storms and trials and different things and different times in our life when God sends us through times of waiting on him to where he ain't moving. We're just having to wait on him. Then there's times when you pray and God just moves. Then there's times, you know, where you just have to stand still. But he says, bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despise you. I got to hurry. Come on, give me another. I mean, we ain't got a lot to see to do. And then to him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. These are challenging things.
Right.
Challenging things. Somebody does you wrong, don't give them opportunity to build a wall. Don't do that.
Right.
Tear that wall down. Open yourself up. I told the Lord one time, I said, Lord, I was doing good till people got involved in my life. And he said, I know, son. Got involved in mine. I'm doing good like created man. But I wanted a family. But the Lord was just letting me know. I understand that. Just grow. You're going to have people to go where you're going. You're going to have people to go where you're going.
Right.
To do what you're to do for the Lord. You can't do it by yourself. You're going to have people, and people will hurt you. But don't build up a wall and say, I'm going to stay in this egg. I'm not going to hatch out. No, you need to hatch.
Yep.
You need to stay in there and cook a little and hatch. See, you can keep the chicken eggs cool, and they won't never start growing and hatch.
Yep.
But you get that temperature just right. Sometimes God puts the temperature just right on us to where we have to hatch. Give to every man that asketh thee of him that taketh away thy goods, ask him not again. Go ahead. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. Go ahead. Is that it? And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? In other words, don't just do good to people that do good to you. God asked me one time to give my last $5 in the middle of the week to a wino on the side of the road. I told God, I said, he'll just go buy some, he's a wino, he'll go buy some, you know, I mean, they drink after shave lotion. They don't care what it is, whatever's cheap. The Lord said, I didn't ask you to figure out what they're going to do with it. So I had to go 2 exits down, and I'm thinking, I'm already hungry. I'm at work, middle of the day, and that's all I got. Preacher's got me on his tight money over there. Got a tithe first. Oh my God, if I didn't have a tithe, I'd have $22 every week. I could eat a lot. But no, we got a tithe. I mean, she's reading 15, 20 chapters of that Bible. She's cutting me up like a hot knife in butter when I get home. The Bible says this, and the Bible said that, and the Bible says, and the Bible says, and the Bible says. I'm like, good God Almighty, quit reading that Bible. Boy, she's tearing me up. The Lord did help her one time and said, you're not the Holy Ghost. Leave him alone. I'll deal with you. But come on, Tithe. We got to tithe. I'm like, we can't tithe. We've got $22, man. It's $22. You understand? They took the color lights off here, like usually. Nope, the Bible says. Nope, the Bible says. How many knows that's a good woman? That Bible says. But you know what? I did it, still do it today, and but God, I'm one blessed man. Why? Because Jesus said, those that hears and does. So I want to encourage you. I know what can go on, because we got an anointing this morning. A little different this morning. But God don't want us to go along with the culture. The junk on TV and think it's okay and normal. Let it get into our consciousness so our lives are messed up. So that we don't realize why people's lives are so messed up out there and don't have the knowledge and information to help. You know, I mean, you know, unmarried couples that's living together need to know that there was a blessing come on their life that they get married.
Right.
You know, the blessing of the Lord will come on their life. Not to make them feel bad. We know why the blessing is not there like it needs to be.
Right.
You know, and it's not to make people feel bad. The Bible says that we'll know the truth, and the truth will make us free. You know, the Bible says what God puts together, let no man put asunder. Well, you know, I took that Bible verse one time because Teresa had left me for somebody before, and I had her, not knocking her, we was young kids, and it would just, you know. And so I took that Bible verse, and I would slay it up there to Satan, that the God's put us together, and no man can come in between us anymore, ever. I would use the Bible. I didn't use the truth. And you know what? Here we are 36 years later.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. I mean, you know. Now I make fun. I say if a man wouldn't, if he did get her, he'd pay me. I mean, you got to have grace. She's a good woman. But by golly, she's Teresa. But I want to encourage you. When you hear, do. Try to apply. Even if you don't get it right the first time. Even if it takes you a year to get it right. Don't make no difference. Just start applying that. So that you, when the storms of life, just like that, it'll come against you, but God will always show up for you. Praise God. Let's bow our heads.